In this lessons episode, explore how entrepreneurs shift from survival-driven hustle to scalable, purpose-led growth. Discover why service businesses struggle to scale and product ventures unlock faster expansion. Understand how motivation and brand influence guide smarter market entry and uncover the core frameworks behind building high-quality consumer products. So you made 600 in the first year, plus minus. How do you scale this out? And as you grew it out, what lessons did you learn about building out a services-based business? Why did you not grow this out to a $50 million, a $100 million organization? What was the life cycle of the plumbing business?
Yeah, so I stayed, my dad and I partnered, and we stayed together for, I think it was 6 years. Five or six years. And from the first year to the second year, I think we made like 1.8 or two. And then the third year is like 3 million. And we never really went past that. And the reason is it's very, very difficult to scale a trades business. And the reason is, you rely on tradesmen. Unfortunately, as of right now, there's a huge lack of tradesmen. So the number one thing to scalability in the trades business, again, is tradesmen. When you don't have tradesmen, you can't scale because you don't have enough people to provide the service. So that was the reason that that we weren't able to scale further. Now, if I stayed, obviously, I would have figured out a way to do so. I would have raised money and I would have said, okay, we're going to post on every single ad or every single job platform. Yeah. We're going to go to career fairs. We're going to, you know, put fucking hiring now, $10,000 bonus on it. Like, well, we would have figured it out. That's not the problem. The problem is I was given the opportunity to be able to scale my other businesses that I'm currently in much quicker. So I saw that and I said, okay, this business is scaled to where it could be as of right now. It's making good money. You know, I can keep doing that. But the opportunity that I have at hand is going to be able to get a return on my time, money return on my time much quicker.
So when you started this plumbing business, your motivations were literally eat and survive and pay rent. But a couple of years later, motivations changed. So when you started to scale these other businesses, what were those businesses? What were your motivations? And maybe those motivations have carried through to date. But what motivated you when you started to go into other avenues?
So, well, my two other avenues right now are Zila, which is my fitness brand, and Dover's Pizza, which we haven't launched yet, but we're launching hopefully this fall. The scalability on those two are different with the product, because a product you don't require tradesmen, right? Skilled tradesmen. Like I said, yeah. Tradesmen is like, it's far and few between. So all you have to have here is money, product, and marketing, and people in the warehouse, which are much easier to hire than tradesmen. With the pizza business, it's a very scalable concept for many reasons. Number one, we don't have many things on our item. Number two, my friend who's backing it is very well known and has a lot of influence. So I'm able to use that to my benefit, right? But I'm sorry, I don't know if I answered your question or if
No, it's just like no, you're cool. Like I guess so you have the pizza business that you're gonna launch, you have Zila, I know you have a podcast as well, but I meant like what motivates you? Like what gets you excited? So yeah, scalability for sure. But there's like a million and one products that you probably could have taken to market. So when you launch Zila or when you launch the pizza business, like what's the conversation about like why are we taking this particular product to market? So when you're sitting down like for the pizza in particular, you're talking to David, like why pizza? Like why is that something that you actually want to get behind? Because again, you already have the influence, you can have the money, but there's a reason why you choose those products, or you choose those services you take to market. Like what is the thing that sort of drives you? Because you know this better than anyone. If you don't have that motivation that's going to carry you through year one, year two, year five, year 10, it's going to be very difficult. Like, you have to maintain that. So there's something that you had in your head, or you were talking about at that table when you first started, that sort of pointed you in one direction or the other. And I guess that's what I'm trying to sort of pull out from you.
Yeah, I think this is a two-part answer. And the first part to the answer with Zila and Dobrik's. With Dobrik's, we chose pizza specifically, and it motivated us because pizza is a very friendly and overall known as being a product that makes people happy, right? And I connect that to David, right? So his videos and his vlogs and whatever he does in his life make people happy. So I think I connect that with him. And then I also connect the fact that we both love pizza. And it's just a very, it's such a generic thing to do that it's like almost perfect. You know what I mean? Like, it's not too specific. It's like, okay, pizza, anybody can fucking do pizza. But we're going to do it the best, you know, we're going to do the best. And we're also going to connect again, a person that has a huge following. So people know about this pizza, and this pizza can make them happy. And I know it sounds cheesy, but that's really what it is. Like, whenever someone steps into our restaurant, into our pizzeria, I want people to walk out happier than they walked in. And I know that we'll achieve that by the product that we've made and by the experience that we'll...
Northwest Registered Agent is a success story partner. Now, if you've been thinking about starting a business in 2026, I have to tell you about Northwest Registered Agent. They are the largest registered agent and LLC service in the U.S. for nearly 30 years. So if you are an entrepreneur, if you are starting a business, they'll give you access to thousands of free resources. So guides, legal forms, operating agreements, and you can actually get that without even creating an account. They have over 1,500 corporate guides, so real people who know your local laws can help you every step of the way that you get access to. Also, privacy is automatic. They never sell your data. Everything's handled in-house. So build your complete business identity and get more. That means more privacy, more guidance, and more free resources with Northwest Registered Agent. Don't wait. Protect your privacy, build your brand, and get your complete business identity in just 10 clicks and 10 minutes. Visit northwestregisteredagent.com/successfree and start building something amazing. Get more with Northwest Registered Agent at northwestregisteredagent.com/successfree. Priori is a success story partner. Now, how many times have you set a goal, you've been fired up for a week, and then you've completely fallen off? That's not a discipline problem. It's a systems problem. That's why I use Priori. It is a goal setting and habit tracking app built on neuroscience, backed by Harvard research, and inspired by Atomic Habits. You set your priorities, and Priori breaks them into small daily steps built right into your schedule. So instead of feeling overwhelmed, you just follow the plan. It gamifies everything: streaks, check-ins, small wins that build momentum, and 78% of users succeed after years of failing at the same goal. Over 12,000 people use it. They have a 4.7 star rating. It's free to download. Check it out at priori.life or search Priori in the App Store or Google Play. That's priori.life.
Right.
That's a dope ass motivation, man. That's good. That's very good. There's not like, it doesn't have to be like complex and confusing. It's just like what gets people excited. Like that's perfect. So I'm assuming like on the Zila. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
I was going to say on the fitness side.
Yes. Yes. So on the fitness side, as weird as it sounds, I love pizza and I love fitness. Right. So, I was like, fuck it. I'm going to do both. You know, I don't see why not. I love taking good supplements. I love taking things that I know don't contain lead, for example, don't have toxins in them, don't have shit that, you know, most products do have. And so I decided to do that because I am the number one passionate fitness person out there, like 100%. And so, yeah, I was like, I'm going to make my own product. Again, I'm going to make it the best I possibly can. And I'm also going to challenge myself because my product is plant-based. My protein is plant-based.
Yeah.
Most plant-based proteins are not that good, I'm sure you know. And they're not that good because of the grittiness or the texture, the flavor, or combination of all of them. And so I found, luckily, a very, very good manufacturer that can provide me a very good product, and I went with it. I was like, this is the best protein I've tasted on the market. including plant and whey. And I truly firmly do believe that. And my motivator for that was getting clean, healthy, and tasty protein out to the public, which in turn makes people healthy.
When you launch these products, we can pick Zila for to start. You already have an audience, and I actually think it's interesting. You probably have a lot of, because you've lived it and you've seen the power of personal brand and social and using that as this huge kickoff point for a product. But we can go into that in a second. I just want to understand, like, the entrepreneurial taking a product off the ground from scratch. That's a true product, so, and not just like a service or a trade. So when you launch Zila, what are the different things that you have to think about? Are you going like e-commerce? Are you going direct to consumer? Are you going on Amazon? How do you source out the actual manufacturer to make sure that they're actually delivering a quality product? Like, walk somebody through the process of what you did when you started off Zila. Like, you can go into like the really the nitty-gritty, like the granular, because there's a lot of people that are trying to launch different things as side hustles. Like, now it's not so difficult to find a manufacturer or to drop ship a product, but I mean, to do it successfully is not easy. And I mean, you already have to find the quality product, you have to find some sort of marketing engine, which you have, but then you have to build the website, you have to maybe figure out distribution into retail. So all these different things are all hurdles, but I mean, you're figuring it out. And where is Zila at right now, and how did you figure it out, like, from the ground up?
Yeah, so originally I had requested samples from about 10 different plants, 10 different manufacturing plants. I tasted all of them, and to be honest, I didn't like any of them. So then I got connected with a gentleman named Sean. Sean's my partner currently, and he is a protein specialist. Let's just call him that. I was very lucky to be connected with him. He is the one that handles the recipe formulation, the manufacturing, the packaging, everything. He has connections for all of that. And he was, again, introduced to me by another friend of mine. And so after I decided that I didn't like any of these other proteins, I went with him, and he currently does his own protein supplement line. But it's a very, very different market that he has, versus what I have. So there's no conflict of interest. And for people that are wondering, again, like, why would he do that? The people that he serves are very different from the people that I serve. So I went with him. We figured, okay, we probably shouldn't be focusing on spending marketing dollars at first, being that I do have a following, my friends have a following, and we can utilize that. So that's what we decided to do off the bat. And I think in the next 2 to 3 months, we'll be utilizing paid media and moving into Amazon. And the only reason we're doing that is because now we understand what power we have and how much power we have, what the ratio of the power versus power and influence versus how much money we can make. So, yeah.
Okay, so when you oh, that makes a lot of sense. And you went direct to consumer first. You're going to go into Amazon. Are you going to try and do retail distribution as well, or are you just basically focusing on like all direct to consumer right now?
I would love to do retail. The problem with retail is that you obviously sell wholesale to retail. And, I'm selling a product at 30%, 40% less. So it doesn't really make sense right now. If I had the opportunity at hand for a big box retailer to come in and give me a really good offer on my terms, I would do so. But I just don't have that leverage right now, to make a good deal. So when I do have the leverage, definitely. I think if I were to
How do
do
you not
something
have
like
the? I was going to say, how do you not have the leverage yet? Because like I feel like if you shop, and I'm just spitballing now, like take to market business ideas. But like if you had like if you shop this around to retailers and you said, hey, listen, I'm going to put this product in your store, and then look at we're going to do this huge marketing push, and you're going to be seen by like 3 million, 4 million, 5 million people because you have that immediate exposure. Do you think that would like put negotiating terms in your favor?
It would. The problem is I don't have 3 to 4 or 5 million people seeing this. David, again, my partner in Dobrik's Pizza, he helps me, push Zila. I push it myself. I have friends push it, but at the end of the day, the influence is solely based on me, and my audience is not 3, 4, 5 million people. Could it get
Sure.
there at one point? Based on our socials, our TikTok and our Instagram. Yeah, but we just don't have. We're really new. We don't have that power quite yet. A person that was able to do that very successfully was Logan Paul in Prime. Now,
Saw
obviously,
that, yeah.
he's much bigger than I am, so he can pull that off, and I can't. I don't feel confident in doing it. Now, it's not to say that I can't get in retailers. I just don't think that they would take me as seriously right now as they would in a year or two, where I come in and I really show some big numbers and I say, look, we're fucking big. You know what I mean? Like, put us in your store. These are our terms. Yeah. And if I were to do something right now, it would really just be a flex because it's cool to be, in a Walmart or fucking 7-Eleven or whatever the case is. I think it's cool to do that, but it doesn't help your bottom line. On the money side, it doesn't really help.
Thanks for tuning in. If you found this valuable, don't forget to hit that subscribe button so you never miss an episode. And if you want to dive deeper into this conversation, check out the links in the description to watch the full episode. See you in the next one.